This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways, and all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Here we go. It's hour number five of the G-Bag Nation here on your home of the Rangers, 105.3 The Fan. It's time now for a proper round tripper. Let's go around the bases, learn everything we can. Here's Wolchuk.
All right. We start off with some good news for your Texas Rangers. Five of the Rangers telecasts will be exclusively moving to Fox Saturday broadcast this year. Evan Grant also noting that MLB is expected to announce further exclusive deals with national providers that could impact some scheduling. So as part of the package, games on April 9th against the Dodgers, April 26th at San Fran, July 12th at Houston, August 9th at home against the Phillies, and then September 6th against Houston. So a lot of Astros games. In addition, at Pittsburgh in June, and then against Seattle also later on that week, are going to be on FS1. Not exclusively. So your Rangers, as they continue to be one of the top picks to bounce back this season, are going to be getting some more national television broadcasts.
Yeah, that's just a sign, you know, people believe it's going to be a great ratings, you know, engine there, as this team should be incredible if you look at it on paper. You know, obviously nothing in baseball can be written in stone or even predicted with that much accuracy, but considering how good they were in 2023 and what they've done here, I mean, Chris Young, just another absolute masterclass on how to GM. So I'm expecting it, and I think this is confirmation of it, if you ask me, Wolchuk. Maybe only Las Vegas odds makers are better or more reliable source of predictions than TV executives.
Well, we had CBS Sports last week. They put out top 10 lineups in all of Major League Baseball. Rangers were at 7. Now they've got top 10 rotations entering the 2025 season. Are the Rangers in this top 10 as well? They've got the Pirates, headlined by Paul Skeens, at number 10. The Tigers with Tarek Skubal at number 9. And then your Texas Rangers. 8th best rotation, according to CBS Sports, as of now in Major League Baseball. You've got the return of DeGrom. You've got Malley, who's capable of a very good season. Eovaldi was an all-star and was brilliant just a couple of years ago in that 2023 run. John Gray at the back end of the rotation. Then you got maybe Kamar Rocker. They don't even talk about Cody Bradford. I feel like Cody Bradford is probably the most underrated pitcher right now the Rangers have. Nobody's given him the respect he deserves.
He'll be 3-0, like, you know, he'll be 3-0 2 months into the season. Now he'll be, you know, he comes in and pitches like when something happens, something bad, they need a start or whatever, and he'll go out there and get a quality start, 7 innings, and, you know, you're right. They don't talk about him nearly enough.
And it's good. I mean, unfortunately, I thought he was your best pitcher to start the season last year.
Yeah,
and then
that's
he got
what I'm
hurt.
Yeah.
Then he got hurt.
Yeah.
So this year, I mean, he could be your number 3 guy behind DeGrom and Eovaldi, but they certainly have a ton of depth right now, and it's exciting. I mean, you got a top 10 lineup, top 10 rotation. There's no reason you shouldn't be a postseason club.
I mean, not that it has anything to do with today's start, but they might not even have Kamar Rocker on the big league team.
That's possible.
It's ridiculous, you know. But when you look at Malley and Gray as well, super talented.
Mm-hmm.
I think the only reason they have it as low as they do at 8th, or I guess Fangraphs had a 10th last week, is you don't know with the injuries.
Sure.
But what we saw from DeGrom last year is the velocity is all there. If he and Evaldi are healthy, this is going to be one of the best rotations in all of baseball.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun to watch. And the only team in the American leagues that are higher than them.
Seattle.
The Red Sox are on there. The Yankees and Seattle's number three. Seattle's the highest ranked American League club. I mean, Logan Gilbert, George Kirby, Luis Castillo, Bryce Miller. But they can't hit. But they can pitch.
They can pitch.
But they can't hit. And I don't know. I feel like, I mean, I get Gerrit Cole's a stud. Does Max Fried, you know, bounce back nicely with the Yankees? He could end up being great. But they've got question marks with Marcus Stroman and his health right now. Nasty Nestor. Cortez has had some ups and downs. Do you get a full season out of Clark Schmidt? I think the Rangers certainly have the opportunity to be a better rotation than what the Yankees are going to be. And that's my biggest question with the Red Sox. Like, I love what the Red Sox have done offensively. They make a trade to get Garrett Crochet, and they signed Walker Buehler. But you got Lucas Giolito, who had Tommy John last March. Brian Bayo is really, really good, returning Tanner Houck. But I think the Rangers and Mariners will be battling it out for the best rotation in all of the American League this year. I really do.
Yeah, and if the bullpen comes together, I would be totally surprised if that's without issue. I think you're still looking at enough in the farm system that if they have needs there, they're going to be able to address that as the season goes on. But at least you have enough faith in the bullpen out there. It won't be one of the worst in all of baseball. It'll probably just be average or slightly below average.
And then the depth when it comes to the lineup, and a great write-up from our buddy Sean McFarland in the morning news yesterday about the three-hole. In the Rangers lineup last year, they had 15 different guys that they tried to fill that third spot in the lineup. Josh Smith hit third in 52 games. They had Nathaniel Lowe for 177 games, but now he gets traded. Over the course of his career, he was hitting third. So you know the top of the order, it's spoken for. It's most likely going to be Semien and Seager, but then who slides in at number three? Could it be Jock Peterson, who we'll talk with tomorrow? Could it be Josh Young if the Jungle Cat's healthy? Is it Wyatt Langford? Is it Jake Berger? They've got a bunch of options. I think Peterson does fit that really well. He's got experience, 866 OPS in 86 games, batting third last year with Arizona, so he was very comfortable in that role a season ago. Young's got a very small sample size, only 13 games in the three-hole, but he's got a 917 OPS. Langford hit five homers, 27 starts, batting third last season. So that might be something over the course of spring training. And I don't know that they'll have that figured out. But when you move into the regular season, if there's an issue there, you feel so good about your options. I mean, Boach even talked about it yesterday. When he's like, you know, sometimes when you're starting camp, you're coming off the bench, you can help the team win. Don't get really comfortable where you are in the lineup, because we're going to be moving that thing up and down depending on who the matchup is. And the Rangers certainly have a great ability to match up with no matter what the starting pitcher is. I think at the top, you'll still have Semien and Seager, but then after that, it's going to be interesting. Who's the hot hand? And that's great for Boach.
Yeah, I think ideally Young or Langford would be so great that they could cement themselves there for the future. But what if Evan Carter is just tearing the ball off of right-handed pitching and you want him in the three-hole? That would be another great development as well. So you love to have options, and you love being at a time in the sport now where guys aren't so sensitive for the most part about where they're hitting. All these guys seem to have a great mindset about it.
This is also the gift that keeps on giving, and that's the Joey Gallo trade. Another player that I totally forgot was part of this. Like, we've seen Josh Smith goes ahead, wins the Silver Slugger last year. Obviously, Glenn Otto didn't quite work out, but Ezekiel Duran's had some big moments with the Rangers. But Trevor Hauber is another piece from that Joey Gallo move. And the first three games of spring training, he was the Rangers' best bat. Hit a 419-foot home run against the Giants off their lefty pitcher. Had hits in every single game. So that's a dude at 26, former third-round pick. Had 11 home runs last season at Round Rock, hurt himself, had to come back, tweak his swing a little bit. But that's another guy, a depth piece. If there's an injury during the course of the season, you got another potential young stud at 26 years old. Or maybe that's a chip that you can go ahead and move at the trade deadline if you're trying to acquire a closer.
Quality depth, though. Didn't he play the infield and the outfield in his journey up to this point? So, yeah, I mean, you got at least one guy who's way better than Joey Gallo ever was. And then between Duran and this guy, you might end up with three of them. One of the great trades. That was a frustrating time when our best bet was, you know, could Joey Gallo hit 195 but also hit a 500-foot bomb ski?
Right. It was just, feast or famine with Joey Gallo. And that's really been his entire career so far. And shout out to him. I mean, they were playing against him on Monday, yesterday with the White Sox. Yeah. Got to see him.
Yeah, I think Gallo was probably one of the most frustrated players to find out about the Yankees beard policy changing, because that was that was tough sledding for him.
Him and Rugi.
To go down to the bone.
Definitely. And Trevi as well. I mean, all those guys are rocking some nice beards, and they go over there. Izzy, another one of those. And they all had to shave, and they all looked weird. I will say, they all looked strange. All right, Buster Olney has continued his top tens going through each position group. Rangers don't have a third baseman in the top 10. I think if Josh Young had been healthy last year,
probably would.
He would have had a shot at it. He was listed as an honorable mention from Olney. He said he sustained a wrist fracture only 4 games into last season. Injury that was a huge loss. Came back, played 46 games, but had to undergo a second surgery in October. His status this year, one of the big questions for the Rangers, and it really is. I mean, it's one of those that could kind of, him and Evan Carter, could tilt your season into your World Series champion again, or maybe this thing starts to go awry a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, him getting healthy and unhealthy has been an on-off switch, mm-hmm. I think, for the success of this team. And a great defensive third baseman as well. Some of the plays that he made in that journey were, I mean, he was killing it offensively and defensively.
And had a nice play defensively today,
he
too,
did.
Early in the game.
He did. And I mean, manning that hot corner to tough spot. Luckily, they've got Josh Smith, who's like the super utility guy that if for some reason something happened, you feel still pretty good. But that's something Josh Young really has to prove. Like, he has not been able to stay healthy.
You know what? You talk about Smith, watching him play first base today and kind of like, oh, he could play all positions. Today he showed, by being a shorter guy, the reach
at first.
Like, yeah, there was a ball that went down the line, and you're like, if you got a guy that's a little bit taller guy, they get to that ball.
Yeah, I mean, you want him at second, shorter.
Yeah,
third.
Those first base, he's just doing spots. It because we're in a spring training right. game. But if he has to play first, like you understand, like oh, that's why.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, like he just was. Didn't have the reach to get that ball.
And good thing Jock, who's going to be an Anberger, who are going to be splitting time there at first, big dudes.
Yeah,
I mean,
huge.
We got to talk with Jock today. The size, the girth and tonnage on that dude. You didn't have to ask him, do you want, 2 inches of height or 2 inches of length?
No, that was not
he
a question.
He probably said, I'm good on both, bro.
He does have an interesting response, though, to my question about what's the most impressive thing he can do in a weight room. I was surprised to hear the response he gave us, and we'll play that tomorrow.
I think I'd be surprised if he could do a single pull-up with that pony cake strapped to his waistline.
Oh, well, then maybe you won't be surprised.
He does have an interesting build with the way it all just settles right there.
But he's
in the gut. Yeah, he's a horse. He's a caballo.
Top 10 shortstops, Bobby Witt Jr., who we just got to see, Colleyville Zone at number 1. And then Corey Seager at number 4. Siegs comes in at 4. The only guys ahead of him, Mookie Betts and Gunnar Henderson. That's fair. I got a lot of Oriole fans who were coming at me about Gunnar Henderson. I said I wouldn't put him ahead of Corey Seager in the top 100 players for this year, but I get it. Henderson had a phenomenal season. His WAR was unbelievable. 15.2 was his WAR last year.
What we don't know about Gunnar, though, is how clutch are you.
Postseason?
When all the chips are down. You know, you want a guy like – you want to know you have a bunch of Corey Seagers on your team.
That's what sets him apart.
Him and Dolly. You know, probably Evaldi. You had some massive cojones in that clubhouse.
Big time balls. No corner outfielders in the top 10 for your Texas Rangers. That's Judge, Soto, Kyle Bleepin' Tucker. I'm glad he's gone.
God.
Ronald Acuna Jr., Corbin Carroll of the D-backs, Fernando Tatis Jr. of the Padres, Jaron Duran of the Sox, Stephen Kwan of the Guardians, Christian Yelich, who had a nice bounce back last year from the Brewers, and then Jackson Chourio, also of the Brewers. For the first time, I think you don't have Mike Trout in the top 10. He was an honorable mention, but I'm confident, hey, healthy Evan Carter this year, he's got a shot to put himself in that top 10 going into next year.
Yeah, I think so does Langford. You know, Adolis Garcia could have a top 10.
Shame on me for not mentioning
season.
Langford.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, I mean, we know how jacked he is, but seeing him again in the clubhouse, I think he's even more jacked this spring training than he was even last year. I can't believe it. Every time I see him, it's like that dude. That dude needs to be a Mike linebacker somewhere.
Yeah, he's got the neck for it.
Oh, my gosh.
That's what you look for at those linebackers.
Speaking of Jack, the Stars might be Jack tonight.
Why? What's happening?
Ottinger's faced three shots and given up two goals against the Blue Jackets already.
That's not a good carryover from the Four Nations.
Get pulled out of there.
Yeah, that's all right. Maybe Robo can go ahead and get another hat trick. He's been absolutely on fire.
2-0, about 14-40 in the first.
I think they've come back from a 3-0 deficit this year. So let's hope. Let's hope for the Stars.
Got hope.
There's Around the Bases.
Thank you, old Chuck. A proper round tripper every night, 6 o'clock here on your home of the 2023 World Series champions. Man, I feel like going through those lists, we have so many players here in surprise that are on the doorstep of greatness or have had great stretches, and they have the talent, and it'll be amazing to listen and watch that whole thing unfold. Okay, it resumes tomorrow, 2 o'clock, right here at the yard. Chief, where are we going next?
Sports hodgepodge. Let's prep our bodies for the Luka revenge game. And we have a Nico Harrison update. Will he be in attendance tonight?
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's. So thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy!
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. 5 times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Next right here on The Fan.
Yes, sir. Welcome back, Nation. It's time now for some sports with the Chief. Sports hodgepodge, if you will. Segment's brought to you by the Frankels. Life is unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you've been injured in a car truck wreck, call the Frankels first. 214 or 817-333-3333. With Franklin Frankel, there's never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. Franklin Frankel, the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. Let's do this, Eric.
Here we go, ladies and gentlemen. The countdown to tip-off is on. It'll be 8 o'clock for us here in Surprise, 9 o'clock back in DFW. Luka makes his first appearance versus the Mavericks in Los Angeles. I see video of him walking into the Crypto Arena. Looks like he's got a fresh cut for this game.
Good.
Hit the barber shop, ready get after it.
I called him out for that a couple of years ago when he had that weird hairdo that he let grow too long. And I also called out Bochy a couple of years ago during the playoffs. Since then, both of their grooming efforts went up exponentially, okay? So I don't know if they have a handler or somebody that listens, but I see you guys working, and you're welcome.
That's right.
You know, helping your guy out be more presentable on TV like that.
I thought Bochy actually looked like a guy who's slimmed down himself a little bit this offseason.
Yeah, he definitely did. You know, probably doctors like, hey, you might want to drop a few LBs, and, you know, guys tend to get pretty responsive.
Broadus wouldn't stop making fun of his gait and making jokes about how he thinks Bochy's going to pull a Broadus in the Avis parking lot when he goes to the mound at some point this season.
I would bet on it. I think that's something that's interesting. I don't know what kind of odds you would put, but I'd definitely be interested in that action because he's not getting a lot of clearance off the ground. He's kind of stumbling forward every third or fourth step.
I kind of feel like his balance is better than mine.
It might be.
I do. I feel like that he has more balance than I have.
He's got two knee replacements and a hip replacement.
Yeah, sure.
He's walking better than you.
Yeah, he's walking out to the mound. I'd probably fall down when I walked out there.
Hey, Brian, the captain just scored. Jamie Benn.
I saw that. 2-1.
Let's go.
Go Stars.
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen.
We are back. I mean, no disrespect to the guy, but honestly, I think if there would be someone walking around like that in public, they usually have at least a walker or a cane. You just don't do that as a skipper. You know,
oh, that would be the first of its kind, right? A skipper caning himself out to the mound to give some wisdom.
I don't think I've ever seen it.
Pitching change. He takes the cane and points the bullpen right or left hand.
Just starts beating the crap out of that robotic umpire with it.
I mean, they might have done it back in the 40s or something. It seemed like maybe the cane was a little bit more common.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'd be a sharp look for him. I think he would pull it off.
Connie Mack. Used a cane.
Connie Mack, he wore
for the
he had
Philadelphia
a cane?
A's.
I Jack think he wore McKeon. A suit. Connie Mack wore a suit out there. He was a manager with a suit.
Could be a suit and a cane.
Wait. But more recently, the 2003 Marlins, Jack McKeon would sometimes use a cane on the field.
Trader Jack.
Okay, so he wouldn't be pioneering something, but it sounds like so there was a time where baseball managers weren't wearing their uniform. They were wearing suits.
Yeah, yes. There were suits.
So what? I wonder what was the genesis of that. That particular change there, because I do love, it's just a funny visual watching managers in a full-on baseball uniform. I wonder whose idea it was to make that switch. Was there pushback from managers, or did it make him feel like, hell yeah, I'm kind of one of the guys. Give me a bat. Watch me swing this thing.
Dawson's
put
on
me
this.
In.
Dawson's
coach.
On this, I have a feeling. You got something for us, Dawson?
Okay, managers like Connie Mack, who managed from 1901 to 1950, famously wore suits and never donned a uniform. By the 40s and 50s, MLB increasingly emphasized that all team personnel on the field, including managers and coaches, should wear official team-issued uniforms.
What a great day for baseball. Great day for sports when they made that switch. Mm.
Many early managers had once been players, so they naturally wore uniforms. As the game evolved, more managers had prior playing experiences and continued the tradition of wearing team-issued attire. So that might be where the tradition was, and they were deciding, are we going to go uniforms like the former players like to do, or are we going to go suits like Connie Mack and some others like to do, and the former players won out.
Love that. Okay, so obviously we're getting ready for the game tonight, Luka versus the Mavericks, and this is a Luka revenge game, but it's also a Max Christie revenge game, and part of the Mark Spears article that we referenced earlier had a quote from Max Christie that I just found a bit interesting the night that he found out he was also being traded. He says, I got 0 seconds of sleep that night. I was up from midnight to 8:15 in the morning. And then this is the part that got me.
I think that's the biggest all-nighter day of the year in the entire world. Just how many people I know have heard were up all night as a result.
Yes, I was fortunate to have fallen asleep shortly before the report got dropped from Shams. So I slept like a baby that night. Unbeknownst to me, all hell was breaking loose.
Yeah, it was insane.
So he gets
got 0. Got up at 4 a.m. to 2. And after that, it was over. I couldn't go back to sleep. I was like, this is not real. This has not actually happened.
You're feeding your daughter, weren't you, probably?
No, he was dropping a deuce. Sleeping. He said it was a 4 a.m. wake up to 2, which means his Saturday night or Saturday. What did you do that day? What were you
eating?
Great
question. I don't even remember. But
beef sticks. Had to involve. Beef sticks are always
there. There were no beef sticks involved, I don't think, but that could have been a Katie Trail day.
Was that a booze too, or was that a fried food too?
Might have been some nachos and booze.
Wow. The 4 a.m. 4 a.m. wake up with the bubble guts screaming at you is. And then, so then you had the wherewithal to bring your phone with you to the toilet, because why wouldn't you?
Yeah, of course.
And then you were on the toilet because you were going to crap yourself anyways.
Did your feet go numb because you sat there so long?
Yeah, absolutely. And then I had to get up and walk around, and I woke Maya up and said, the magistrate at Luca, and she said, nobody cares. Go to bed. You don't know bleep, okay? Don't tell me nobody cares.
You woke your wife up to break the news.
Yeah, I had to tell
her.
Somebody. Yeah. Like I felt like I had to talk to somebody in that moment about it.
Mine was mad at me. At some point, like at 8 in the morning, I said, by the way, you should know the Mavs traded Luka. And then I just left the room because she wouldn't talk to me. But felt like she should know.
Yeah, exactly. I definitely had to break that down to my wife as well on Sunday. Like, hey, listen, this is not going to be a typical family day Sunday. I am not going to be myself today. Here's why. But Max Christie says that night in the hotel room that he didn't sleep, he says, I was on the floor in the hotel room for 2 hours just thinking about what was going on. Laying on the floor of a hotel room, I think that is one of the most disgusting places you can ever find yourself. On the floor of a hotel, they change the carpet like once a decade. Only God knows the amount of shoes and what else has been on that. Even the rolling, even the wheels.
Do you think they stay in a bummy hotel?
Brought us even the wheels of luggage that roll throughout airports and all through different places. And now that is rolling onto the carpet, and it's probably years before they even a nice hotel. All it takes is a week worth of new carpet is no longer new after about a week. When you're talking about a hotel and people just doing whatever they want on that floor.
Ritz-Carlton probably has like very clean rooms that if you're laying on the floor, you probably don't have to worry about it.
I think if I was rich, the first thing I'd do is have all hotel carpets, what is that called, shampooed before I enter.
Before your stay?
72 hours prior.
Yeah.
Because I don't want that new shampooed smell either in there.
I have been doing the thing because I have become more educated on the disgust of hotel rooms and that top layer that is the quilt. You're supposed to just remove that thing because they don't wash that.
My girlfriend,
they're only
Michelle,
washing the sheets.
Michelle brings her own sheets when she goes on the road. She brings her own sheets.
Yeah. My mom will do the same thing. She hates sleeping in hotels.
Yeah.
But laying on any hotel floor, I think, is a disaster. But that was the place. I mean, it really just paints a beautiful picture about where he was mentally and emotionally.
What, he's trying to get sick?
Max Christie was probably never in a million years imagining himself just laying on a hotel floor. But he was probably in a bit of a daze, and he just collapsed. And now he's going for the revenge game tonight. I think he's going to be dialed.
I think he should be proud he was traded for Luka. He should be, like, pumped.
Yeah, it's the Max Christie
traded for Luka.
He's a stud.
Yeah.
He was a throw-in, but he was a great throw-in.
He has the potential to really be a nice player. Maybe the third best player on a championship team. That would be my...
I think he could grow into that, for sure.
Upside.
Yeah.
Probably more like the fourth or fifth, but these are the kind of guys that champions are made of.
Definitely.
Because he can help you on both ends. He's smart. The way he cuts off the ball, if you have a great point guard, you know, like the Mavs do for the time being, He's going to be a huge asset for the Mavs for a long time. And defensively, he'll never be a ball in the hand creator. You know, he'll never be like, hey, let's do some Max Christie sets. You know, he's going to be a spot up shooter and a slasher, but he'll be dang good at it.
Yes, agreed. It's been pretty awesome to see just how well I think he scored over 15 points in every single game that he's been in the Mavs uniform. So he's been really impressive, and then the defense speaks for itself on and off the ball. He's fantastic. So hopefully he gets a nice ovation from the crowd in Los Angeles tonight, and hopefully he plays pretty well. I do think Kyrie's going to have a game. Walter, can you please pull up the Kyrie prize picks? Because we're talking so much about Luka, LeBron. It's a Max Christie game as well. I think Kyrie wants show that, yes, I am also that dude. He's off a bit of a down game versus Golden State. this team desperately needs Kyrie to go for 30 plus every single game that they're going to win. I think this is one of those nights in Los Angeles. And it's kind of a turn back the clock game for Kyrie tonight, because his aesthetic with his hair and his beard, he's been going with the heavy, like super unkempt sort of beard. I like that look on him. I actually think it's pretty cool. But now he's scaled it back, and he's going back to early Cleveland days look with the shorter haircut and the no beard, just mustache and goatee.
Oh, wow. That's a big change.
It's a huge change. And so I think that speaks to the type of game that he's going to have tonight. I think he's going to be rocking and rolling. I do have the most bet tickets for player props tonight. But yeah. I just wanted to see what the price pick said about Kyrie, because I think I would be hammering the over or the mores on Kyrie tonight.
He's at more or less 26 points.
See, I think this is an easy 30 burger night for Kyrie.
I've got a 7.5 more for Max Christie right now, which is very, very easy money.
7.5 points?
Seven and a half. That's a special right now that you can go ahead and hit the more on. And then I already went more on 15.5 for PJ. Like, I think PJ Washington's going to get himself a double-double.
I mean, that's what the win looks like. I think a big game for PJ Washington, a big game for Kyrie. But, you know, they have the kind of players a lot of different dudes could step up. Maybe Klay Thompson, his dad's going to be on the call tonight there courtside. Maybe he's inspired. You know, Najee Marshall loves these big moments. He's a dog, you know, and he could go out there and get you 25 or so. So I think it's going to be an incredible event. This is like part of sports history that we're going to watch tonight, gentlemen.
Yes.
No matter what happens.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Most bet tickets, NBA player props tonight at BetMGM. The fifth most bet ticket is at +320 for Luka to record a triple-double.
That sounds really I don't know. I don't want anything to do with a bet like that. Oh, at only 320?
I know. I need that at least +500.
Yeah.
We have at 4, LeBron James under 7.5 assists.
LeBron James.
Third most bet ticket tonight, Luka over 9.5 boards. And the second most bet ticket of the night is actually a Jason Tatum ticket. But number one, Luka under 31.5 points. People are expecting him to hit the under on that. Maybe the moments he's a little bit too emotional. Perhaps the Lakers.
Who are the refs tonight?
I think some people think the Lakers might run away with the victory, and maybe in the fourth quarter you're not getting full tilt Luka, so maybe he's sitting at 25 points or whatever, and they don't really need him to expend all the fourth quarter type energy. I don't know, but.
You know, you could see a lot of the Lakers fans or maybe some of the close gamblers thinking this still isn't sorted out, even though he had the one game and everybody's saying we want Luka with the ball in his hands more. I can't trust that in the four games he's only averaged 19. They might just be making a pure numbers play and thinking all was not resolved. Yeah, last time out.
And I think the other thing, too, if I was going to be betting the under on Luka tonight is because I just think the game plan for Jason Kidd and company is just going to attack him relentlessly when the Mavs have the ball.
Yeah.
And just try and tear him up, maybe get him in foul trouble, but certainly just wear him down. Now, we did see, it looks like Stephen A. Smith says that Nico Harrison will be in attendance for tonight's game. It's just a matter of where is he going to be? Is he going to be visible sitting in the stands as he usually does pre-Luka trade? Or will he be up in the press box? I could see him being in some little suite breaking bread with Rob Pelinka, just having a good friendly time together as if nothing's happened between the two.
Yeah, I mean, he's in an arena tonight where the fans like him, right?
You'd think they'd be big fans.
Oh, for sure. Yes. Yeah. I think that if they throw him on the Jumbotron, he's going to get a standing ovation. They might have some type of, halftime deal where they honor him in some type of way.
Put his name in the rafters.
Yeah. Put his name in the rafters. Yeah. Maybe they unveil a Nico Harrison statue outside of Crypto Arena next to Kobe and whoever else they got statues.
I mean, they're
out there
really leaning into it. Who put out the viral video of Luka changing his license plate while All My Exes Live in Texas played?
That's a jump man. That's okay. A Nike ad.
You know, I just
way to rub it in Nico's think, face, huh?
That one hurt. It really did, you know. And I think it's starting to really hit the gravity of it, how lucky the Lakers feel. Like the greatest thing that you could ever hope for as a fan, this happened to. You know? And I guess they want to celebrate it and live it up, but As a guy who grew up watching the Trailblazers, and there was a massive history between those two organizations and massive failure and disappointment, kind of more like the Rangers run against the Yankees in the late 90s, where they sweep you three years in a row. Like every decade or every half decade, there was like a major flashpoint that just made Trailblazers fans hate the Lakers, and the Beat LA chant, you know, rang mm-hmm. through that arena. I've never felt that level of Laker hate here. And I think the, you know, watching them just revel in the fact they got Luka should plant some of those seeds that hopefully can grow into massive trees of Laker hate for generations to come. But I also feel like a bunch of people are becoming Lakers fans.
You're going to have a ton of Luka Laker jerseys walking around DFW. I can guarantee you that. They probably already have started.
And if you're hopeful for a Mavs victory tonight, you'll be happy to know, according to Mike Curtis, Dwight Powell will be making his return to the lineup.
Oh, hell wow. Yes. That's the Luka stopper we need.
That needs to be all six fouls, just forearm shiver to Luka. Forearm shiver to Luka.
Yeah, it'll be really interesting how the former players, the former teammates, you know, treat this. Will you want to get in Luka's head as you know you can? Will you get physical with him? Are you running up and down the court bumping him? Are you, or, you know, is this going to be a friendly game of, hey, buddy, you know, nice to see you again. Let's put on a show for the fans and go home. I don't know. Knowing what I know about Luka and how important it is for every victory here as you wait for reinforcements with the bigs, I'd be trying to get in his head.
Maybe just get a lapse in judgment and he sees Dwight Powell on the floor and he lobs him one on accident. Mm. He's like, oh, crap. I'm on the other team. I forgot.
I don't know if Dwight Powell being back helps.
No, like, it doesn't.
Seriously, I'll take
but
Kessler
Edwards. But they need so many bigs right now.
I was being facetious.
Yeah, but maybe there's a way. I do have a respect for the coaching staff, and I'm sure Jason Kidd will figure out a way to have it help if he can. Thanks to our sponsors here in spring training, ASCO Equipment, your heavy equipment partner since 1960, and the on-time experts, air conditioning and plumbing, same-day service guaranteed. We'll cross with the Fan after dark. See what Fred and Blake have cooking for you next in the Fan. Thank you, Lucius, and thanks to the Rangers for having us out here in Surprise, and our sponsors, ASCO Equipment, your heavy equipment partner since 1960, and the on-time experts, air conditioning and plumbing, same-day service guaranteed. It was a very eventful afternoon. We had the Rangers hit around a little bit. 14-5, I think, was the final loss to the Kansas City Royals, but Sebastian Wolcott was putting on a show at shortstop, got onto second base twice, so very exciting times for some of the young Rangers prospects. Kamar Rocker has seen better days, but we'll be back after it tomorrow. I believe it's going to be a Mardi Gras Brian Wednesday.
Is that correct? Yep, we got it going.
Wow, a bet payoff unlike any other set the scene. That was just last year, wasn't it? Or the Rangers parade that we were introduced to Mardi Gras Brian. Now he pops up every now and then, and it's quite a sight. Okay, Fan After Dark coming up next here from 7 to 11. Fred and Blake join us now here, gentlemen. Good evening. How the heck are you?
Doing a lot better now that we're here with you guys, even if it's virtually. Hopefully you guys have nice weather. Weather's amazing over here in the DFW, and it's not the same without you guys in studio, so hold it down in Surprise.
It's probably about the same.
Yeah.
I mean, what was it like today, 80 or so?
I wouldn't say it was that hot. Probably close
77.
To 77, 72. I was feeling more like in my neck of the woods, so I didn't know you guys were such a baseball savants. I mean, I feel like I'm listening to Jared Sandler hearing you guys break down the game.
We're seam heads, Blake. You know that.
Yeah. Appreciate you, bro.
Of course.
We try not to talk too over your head about the baseball stuff.
Yes.
We want to make it palatable.
Y'all might have already said this, so excuse my ignorance. Have we picked our favorite player that we're rooting for individually from the G-Bag boys? Like, who is our guy this year? Has that been already done?
We haven't done our Who's Our Guy segment yet.
Okay.
It's certainly in store. We were going to try and just play the week out and then maybe unveil a Thursday, Friday, our guy of the year picks. But, man, going in the clubhouse, I think we're gonna talk with this guy named Luke Jackson at some point.
We better.
He seems to be one of the best personalities going. Obviously, meeting Sebastian Wolcott was pretty special. Right now, I'm leaning Joc Pederson, which is obviously low-hanging fruit, but we had a nice interaction with him today, and I don't know if he would say that, but I felt like we bonded.
I didn't think he would say that. Now I think he might. I think that he had fun and enjoyed himself. Immediately afterwards, I was thinking, this guy hates us. But then he kept circling back and was like, hey, you guys need to get with Luke Jack. Like, talk with other guys. So maybe he did have some fun with it. Joe Barlow is always going to have a special place in my heart.
Amen.
That's our guy.
Amen.
They've picked the big personalities. I like picking for the good players here. I'm going to go with Evan Carter.
Yep. There we go.
I think there's an urgency to make sure that he makes the most of it because he doesn't know how long his career is going to go. I think that is going to bring – I mean, and he had a hell of a hit and run today. So, Evan Carter, my guy. I mean, Wyatt Langford, Josh Young. There's so many guys that are on the precipice of a breakout into stardom. So, there's a lot of guys to choose from, as I'm sure you're very aware, Blake.
Evan Carter was my guy when he had that great playoff appearance and obviously didn't have a great year last year. I'm still riding with Evan Carter. I know Fred's. His guy is Kumar Rocker.
Rough day today. You know what? Setback on the way to the comeback, as they say.
Yeah. You know, these kind of things happen. What do you think Luke is going to do tonight?
Are y'all on a lawn? I hear a leaf blower in the back. It's an amazing
setup. They maintain the field.
Welcome to the broadcast, Blake.
It's an amazing
every day occurrence here, buddy.
Watching tape.
Surprise.
What am I thinking of Luca tonight? Well, I put my money where my mouth is, so I got him going over 35 points. I think from what Tim McMahon said in his little stand-up before the game, he talked to Nico this morning, that he's deciding between if he's going to sit in the suite or in the lower bowl. Hmm. And if he sits in the lower bowl, I think it's all but curtains for the Dallas Mavericks. He's going to find Nico. He's going to give him a look. He's going to shake his head. He's going to point at him. Very similar to Vlade from the Sacramento Kings, what we saw with them. Mm-hmm. So I think it's going to get ugly. I know some people are like, the moment might be a little too big. Fred's taking the under. I think he'll be rattled. A lot of emotions. I don't. I think he's going to try to embarrass the Mavs and, more importantly, Nico Harrison.
Belt to ass.
Yeah.
Luka to Nico.
Yeah, you know, I imagine there could be all kinds of stare downs, viral moments.
Did you see Kyrie's new haircut?
Oh, yeah. Chief is just telling us about it. All businessman, right?
Babyface assassin.
Turn back the clock.
Cleveland days.
Get that victory tonight.
Looks like a proper closer, if you ask me. What's coming up on the show tonight, gentlemen?
Radio Gold, as always, you guys know that. Obviously, we're going to get into a lot of this Luka stuff. We're efforting to get a guy who is currently under investigation for a point shaving scandal. We're going back and forth. He hasn't confirmed yet, but I don't know if you guys read that Pat Forty article that came out today about the Jontay Porter, the Terry Rozier. Well, they've already arrested four guys. This guy's one of those people that is being investigated. Hell, the guy dropped a body and he's free, and he's got a podcast as well. So, America in 2025, we are efforting to get him on the show. So, we're hoping for that. If that doesn't go through, don't worry about that. Plenty of Luka, plenty of baseball, and plenty of NFL after dark.
No 9 o'clock
hell
segment.
Of a tease.
No. Hey. You know how we do.
Blake's breakdowns.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you for that. At 9 o'clock.
Who we got tonight,
Blake's
Blake?
Breakdowns.
Finished up with Sexton Woolchuck today. Finished up Emeka Buka from Ohio State. Like what I saw out of him. And then also, everyone's talking about Luther Burden, him dropping. Also about Tet McMillan dropping. So we'll kind of rehash the conversation we had last week about Tet McMillan as well.
And then Blake's role in this point shaving scandal as well. Okay. So I've said too much.
What did you do?
It's fantastic work, gentlemen. Looking forward. Fan After Dark 7 to 11. We'll be listening remotely on the Odyssey app with instant rewind functionality. You can go to each segment like it's a podcast, dang near. It's a heck of an app. Okay, thanks to Lucius Alexander and the Pimp Cup back home, Master Control. Just went 5 flawless once again. Of course, Woolchuck and Schiafalo and Brian Broaddus, and of course, Ruben Portillo, remote engineering here in Surprise. Back tomorrow at 2. Until then, you're going home with the nation. At ease.